Good morning. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW, Sitka. I'm reporter Emily Kwong, and I have a special guest on the phone this morning. Senator Dan Sullivan, who represents our fine state of Alaska, is on the phone from Washington, D.C. Good morning, Senator. How are you?
Hey, Emily. Good morning. Good to be on the program.
You were most recently in Sitka in the company of U.S. Coast Guard Commandant Carl Schultz, who's the most senior official in the Coast Guard. What was your biggest takeaway from that trip to see the air station and be in his company during that time?
Well, you know, it was great. It was a great visit, and I had a lot of time with the Coast Guard, not just as a senator, but particularly in Sitka as a Marine. I've done some training out there a number of years ago, so it was great to be back. And it's great to have the new commandant in Alaska, particularly in Sitka. You know, he's only been on the job. He got confirmed 2 months ago, but that's his third trip to Alaska, and I think that's a really strong indication of the Coast Guard's focus. Certain communities, including Sitka, will be getting new Coast Guard cutters. A fast response cutter will be coming to Sitka. And so it's great to have the commandant there. We actually saw some of what is going to be needed in terms of shoreside infrastructure in Sitka, which I think is, you know, probably going to be in the tens of millions of dollars to support these new cutters.
Do you expect Sitka's Coast Guard infrastructure to continue to grow beyond the fast response cutter, or is this it? Is this as big as the Coast Guard presence is going to be in Alaska with the air station?
I mean, I don't want to jinx it, but like I said, I think there's a lot more to do. You know, the responsibilities of the Coast Guard in Alaska are only increasing. The ship traffic is increasing with new commercial sea lanes opening up, with the receding sea ice, a much more stronger interest on areas of environmental protection. Our fisheries are critical. You know, Alaska, I like to say we constitute the superpower of seafood for our country. Over 60% of the commercial, recreational, subsistence fishing taken in America comes from Alaska. But you may have seen, Emily, in the National Defense Authorization Act that I sit on the Armed Services Committee as well, that the President signed into law just a couple weeks ago. For the first time ever, it has a provision that I pushed to get in there for six new polar-class icebreakers to be constructed. That's signed into law. Now we got to make sure we get the appropriations for those, but they're authorized. And, you know, my view is both in terms of icebreakers and also these very big ships called national security cutters that the Coast Guard is constructing right now. I think we should have some of those as well. So we're off to a good start.
Another question for you, Senator, is we've learned that the deputy commissioner of ADF&G, Charlie Swanton, is going to be making an announcement Wednesday morning on the Pacific Salmon Treaty. And the trollers in Sitka are really worried about their allocation being cut again. Trollers really rely on king salmon. And I'm wondering if there's any talk among the congressional delegation, Alaska's delegation, as to what you all will do if Alaska is cut further in how many kings it's allowed to fish versus Canada. Is that something that is on the radar of Congressman Young and Senator Murkowski?
It's certainly on my radar.
Okay.
And I mentioned this in my interview when I was in Sitka. I know the trollers have some concerns. To be quite honest, I have concerns. And as I mentioned, Emily, I chair the subcommittee in charge of federal fisheries. So we have been monitoring this very closely. As part of my chairmanship, I plan on having a field hearing sometime this fall with the top federal officials, and we're trying to get state officials to have a hearing in Alaska that I will chair, saying what is driving these very poor king returns in terms of our fisheries. Because As you know, there's a lot of different theories out there, some of which involves state management, some of which involves what's going on in federal waters, some of which involves, you know, ocean acidification, which I'm very concerned about and have been pressing for full funding on. So I share these concerns and have been writing and leading letters to NOAA and the State Department on a pretty regular basis with regard to the Pacific Salmon Treaty, trying to get, making sure we get significant funding from OMB with regard to the implementation of the treaty. So it's something that we're very, very focused on, but we don't have the lead on. And but we're watching it very, very closely.
Sounds like President Donald Trump is proposing a retaliatory tariff of 25% on imported seafood from China, but that includes products made in Alaska and reprocessed in China. And I'm just wondering, you know, you made that point in front of the National Trade Commission. Do you think that you were heard? I don't know what the process is like, but that seems like a nuance that's all very important for certainly our state's economy. And do you think that your colleagues understood that?
Yes, I definitely think I was heard. And the reason is, so that was the International Trade Commission, and they're trying to take testimony from different groups that are, you know, are raising concerns about some of the tariff retaliation measures that the Trump administration has taken against China. I'm pretty sure I was the only senator to testify in front of that commission. And then, importantly, I called the head of the United States Trade Representative's office. I actually called the U.S. Trade Representative, Ambassador Lighthizer, to express, I said, hey, look, I testified in front of the committee, Ambassador, but I want you to hear directly from me, because I think I have a really, really strong argument that you guys are kind of hurting the very communities with this proposed tariff that you say you want to help. And to be honest, I'm hopeful that it really made an impact, because I don't think they understood what was going on. And you mentioned it, Emily, what they have done, I made the case that, you know, again, Alaska's a superpower seafood. We're a huge exporter. And the president has personally, when I've raised this issue with him, and his Secretary of Commerce, have said, we want to help export more Alaskan seafood, open markets. And my point is, okay, great, but right now, this is a boomerang against our exporters. The reason is, as I emphasize, is that almost $1 billion of tariffs that they're looking to put, of products that they're looking to put tariffs on are fish that was caught in American waters by American vessels, by American fishermen, by the way, mostly Alaskan fishermen. And I said, you want to help small business? These men and women are the ultimate small businessmen. They take risks. They work hard. They often pass down their businesses between families. They produce a world-class product, Alaskan wild seafood, and you're hurting them. How are you hurting them? They're putting a tariff on it. So I said, look, let me give you an analogy in the manufacturing sector. If you had a car that was built in America with American products and American labor, and then it was sent to China for detailing and a final paint job and shipped back to the U.S., you wouldn't be putting a tariff on that. So why are you putting a tariff on essentially Alaskan-caught seafood by hardworking Alaskans? Because that's what they're doing.
And finally, Senator John McCain, flags are flying a half-mast at the White House. And I'm wondering if you could describe what the mood is like in the Senate, or perhaps share a story, a personal story about your relationship with your former colleague, Senator John McCain. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, it's somber here, I will tell you. I was very close with Senator McCain. There's been a lot of stories and things written about him, but one that's not getting picked up, which I think is a true sense of leadership that you don't see very often, a true sense of a leader, is how focused he has been on mentoring other senators. You don't see that a lot. That's, in my view, a true indication of leadership. Very early on, literally the first month of my tenure in the Senate in 2015, he came to me and said, you know, Dan, I know you're a Marine, and I want you to, under federal law, the chairman of the Armed Services Committee or his designee sits on the board of the Naval Academy in West Point. So he asked me to sit on the board of the Naval Academy. And then he said, you know, I know you as Alaska Senator care a lot about the Asia Pacific. You're in the Asia Pacific. I know you've deployed out there as a Marine. I want you to be kind of the Asia Pacific lead on the Armed Services Committee. And I travel out there a lot, and I want to take you out there and show you what I know. And so I've done that. You know, I actually went to Vietnam with him and saw the very place where he was tortured. It was unbelievable. I saw the lake where he was shot down in Hanoi with him. And so, but you know, you don't find people that do that, whether it's in the Senate or in civilian life or in the military, to proactively reach out to somebody who's new and say, I'm going to help teach you. And that's what he's done to me. I'm very sad. And you know, I went out to visit him and his wife about a month ago in Arizona, and you know, his quick wit, kind of biting wit, was on display when I looked at him. And towards the end, I said, "Hey, John, you know, everybody in the Senate really misses you." And he looks at me and goes, "Dan, that's a lie." And you know, that was just a quick wit, right? I mean, everybody did miss him, but he was being so. His life certainly is embodied steadfast patriotism, and his courage and indomitable spirit, I think, have inspired millions of Americans, but also people all across the globe. So he's going to be missed. We're going to have a service for him here in D.C. this week, both in the Senate and then at the National Cathedral, and I intend on attending both of those.
U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan, thank you so much for your time and for joining me this morning.
Great. Emily, great to be on the program. I look forward to getting back on.